Well, on the subject, as we were of people dying suddenly, as in fact happened to Adler Barry Seal, we're going to read a couple of articles now about a man, a rather well-known man, who died rather suddenly and unexpectedly. The article, the first article is from the San Jose Mercury News for Wednesday, February 4th, 1987. The headline, Designer and Racer of Boats is Shot to Death in Miami. The article is by Patrick May and Rinaldo Ramos of the Knight Ridder News Service, Dateline, Miami.
Offshore powerboat pioneer Don Arono, a living legend of speed at sea. Oh, by the way, his name is spelled A-R-O-N-O-W, and I've never heard it pronounced. Is that...
I would say Arono.
Arono, think so, yes. A-R-O-N-O-W. Offshore powerboat pioneer Don Arono, a living legend of speed at sea, was murdered Tuesday on a North Dade County street lined with boat manufacturing companies he founded. Arono, age 59, who won two World Powerboat Racing Championships and went on to breed and race horses, was hit by four or five bullets fired from a car that pulled up beside his. According to witnesses, both drivers stopped in the road facing opposite directions. Arono rolled down his window, spoke a few words, and was shot. The other car made a U-turn and disappeared. The engine and air conditioning of Arono's white Mercedes were still running when Bobby Moore, one of his longtime friends, reached him. Quote, he had rolled the window down on the driver's side and apparently the guy opened fire on him at close range, unquote, Moore said. I could see that one of the bullets had gone through the car door. There was so much blood on him it was hard to tell how many times he had been hit, but I could see he had been shot in the neck and jaw, unquote. The motive for the killing was not known. Quote, I've been with him so long I'd know if there were any problems, said Patty Lazaka, Arono's secretary and office manager for 15 years. She notified Arono's wife, Lillian, who was at Mount Sinai Medical Center when he died there at 4:45 p.m., about 15 minutes after the Metro Dade Air Rescue helicopter brought him. During a 25-year career as a designer, builder, and racer of powerboats, Arono founded the Formula, Donzi, Magnum, Cigarette, and Squadron 12 boat companies. Arono, who lived on Miami Beach, is best known for the rakish Cigarette, a dip-nosed speed craft he designed for racing. Its name has become the generic term for the boats most favored by smugglers racing loads of marijuana and cocaine ashore from freighters in the Gulf Stream. Arono, who lived at a speed comparable to that of his boats, enjoyed the association. He made up for it by designing and building an even faster boat, nicknamed Blue Thunder, for the U.S. Customs Service. Once he gave Vice President George Bush a hair-raising ride on Blue Thunder. Well, in and of itself, a death of a fairly well-known man in Miami, a man who does happen to know George Bush, but in and of itself not that significant. However, there are some other interesting things starting to come out.
One article, which regrettably we do not have with us, concerns the recent conviction of a championship speedboat racer in Florida for smuggling cocaine. And the thing that was interesting at his trial, he said he indicated that he was working on behalf of the Contras, and he was convicted of cocaine smuggling. We'll try and dig that article up or get it from, it's probably buried somewhere or misplaced anyway. The Iran scam Contragate has taxed the resources of researchers to keep articles straight and organized. But at any rate, there was a recent conviction of a championship speedboat racer for cocaine smuggling, and he was working on behalf of the Contras, or so he said. Not necessarily with regard to the cocaine smuggling, but it's an interesting thing to contemplate, and whether there may be some relationship between that conviction, Iran scam, Contragate, and the death of Arono remains to be seen. However, there has been speculation about a possible drug connection to that slaying. Reading from the New York Times of Thursday, February 5th of 1987, an article by George Volsky, V-O-L-S-K-Y, Dateline Miami, and headline, Miami Death Likened to Drug Slaying. A federal official today described the killing Tuesday of Donald Arono, a noted Miami boat builder and businessman, as a, quote, typical hit, unquote, carried out by Colombian drug traffickers, unquote. The official, Billy Yout, Y-O-U-T, a spokesman for the Miami Office of the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration, said that in 90% of the investigations of similar killings, Colombian drug dealers were found to be involved. Commander William P. Johnson, a spokesman for the Metro Dade County Police Department, which is in charge of the investigation, said, quote, Mr. Arono was involved in many diverse activities here, and we are looking into all of them to find a possible motive, unquote. The 59-year-old Mr. Arono was shot at 4 p.m. yesterday in the northeast section of Miami, where there are many boatyards and marinas. He was shot several times from a dark blue late-model Lincoln Town Car. The shots were directed at Mr. Aronow's white Mercedes-Benz Roadster. According to witnesses, the Lincoln was parked near an office of a friend whom Mr. Aronow visited. When he drove away, witnesses said, the dark car pulled alongside the Aronow auto, and after both stopped at an intersection, one or more occupants of the dark car fired at Mr. Aronow. The dark car sped away. Because its windows were tinted, witnesses did not see how many people were inside. Late today, the police released a composite picture of the presumed assailant. The man was described as having tan complexion, unquote, as 30 to 40 years old with several days' growth of beard. Mr. Yout of the Federal Drug Enforcement Agency said there was a similar murder last year in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, in which a government informer, Barry Seal, was killed. Quote, but the similarity stops there, unquote, he said. I have checked our records and we have nothing on Mr. Aronow there. Mr. Yout said that the agency was willing to assist the county police if asked. Skipping down on the article, Mr. Aronow also became a friend of Vice President Bush, who owns a 28-foot cigarette built for him by the cigarette racing team of North Miami Beach. Anna T. Barnett, the executive assistant United States attorney in Miami, was quoted in the Miami News Today as saying that Mr. Aronow had a, quote, close working relationship with the Customs Service, unquote. She added, quote, of course he made a lot of money from his contacts, unquote, with the service. So again, the George Bush has been overseeing the White House task force to stymie the drug traffic. He also has been, according to a number of reports, very much involved with the Contra supply effort in Latin America. And one wonders, again, is there a possible link between Aronow, between this racer who was just convicted of cocaine smuggling and who said he was helping the Contras, George Bush, his role as head of the presidential task force, the drug hit team, I don't know what their formal name is, and the group that's to seal off the borders, and George Bush, the former director of the Central Intelligence Agency. So, again, food for thought and grounds for further research. Interesting that federal officials should have found the Aronow death reminiscent of the death of Barry Adler Seal, who was involved with the Medellin cocaine cartel that we've just looked at with Carlos Slater, a neo-Nazi of much the same stripe as, well, Klaus Barbie was not a neo-Nazi, but we've looked at the profound Nazi elements in the cocaine trade in the past, and that's going to be a focus of our next Radio Free America show, number 27. Now, that will be one of the foci.
All right, and our last article for the evening is on another rather interesting character who has not turned up dead, but who keeps turning up nonetheless. The article is from the San Francisco Examiner for Sunday, February 1st, 1987. The headline, Report Names New Key Connection in Iran Arms Scandal. I might mention that, of course, this is not a new connection or a new name to our One Step Beyond faithful, but new to the Iran case as of the time of this article. The article is by Lewis Traeger of the Examiner staff. A part-time government consultant emerges from a new congressional report as a central figure in the Iran arms sale affair. The prominence may be new for Michael Ledeen, but he has been injecting himself into international scandals for years. Ledeen, quote, appears to have played a key role in the initial contacts between the U.S. and Israel, unquote, on Iran, the Senate Intelligence Committee said Thursday in a report on its investigations of the unfolding scandal. The committee placed the genesis of the arms deals in 1984 and showed that Ledeen played a far heavier role than had been previously reported. Ledeen sold President Reagan's national security advisor on U.S.-Israeli-Iranian contacts in May 1985, the report said. It added that throughout 1985, Ledeen served as a main U.S. representative in talks that led to the secret arms sales to Iran. The sales were aimed, at least in part, at freeing U.S. hostages in Lebanon. Some of the proceeds were diverted to supporters of Nicaraguan rebels. From his base at a hawkish think tank in Washington, Ledeen, age 45, has been a hardline supporter of many anti-communist causes. He has been an outspoken opponent of the Soviet Union and the left-wing government of Nicaragua, and a strong backer of Israel and the late Shah of Iran. He has also made himself a player in political intelligence controversies, from Billy Carter's dealings with Libya to the assassination attempt of Pope John Paul II. And, of course, before going to the other part of the article, I might mention that this is covered at great length in our Who Shot the Pope series, available from DavCorp, and Ledeen's name does crop up quite frequently, as it has on other One Step Beyond shows. Skipping down in the article. Ledeen is an object of fascination to others, partly because of a long line of intriguing associations. Quote, I understand that Michael Ledeen travels in interesting circles and gets to meet a lot of people, the former Intelligence Committee Chairman Senator David Durenberger, a Minnesota Republican, has said. Ledeen has been a foreign policy consultant on top Reagan administration officials off and on since 1981. He works out of the Center for Strategic and International Studies, a think tank. His colleagues there have included Arno de Borgrav, a sometime writing collaborator with Ledeen and the editor of the Mooney's Washington Times newspaper, and David Abshire, Reagan's new special counselor on the Iran-Contra affair. Before the current scandal, Ledeen was probably best known as a leading advocate of the view that Soviet bloc intelligence agencies were behind the 1981 assassination attempt of Pope John Paul II. That theory was generally discredited last year when the central witness, gunman Mehmet Ali Agha, declared himself Jesus Christ and offered to raise the dead. Ledeen often writes media reports critical of both the U.S. administration and international terrorism for conservative publications such as Commentary and the New Republic. During the 1980 campaign, Ledeen and de Borgrav broke the scandal about the dealings of President Carter's brother, Billy, with Libya. A former official of an Italian spy agency said he had provided the information to the authors, but Ledeen has declined to discuss the matter. Ledeen has acknowledged to the Wall Street Journal that he worked for an Italian spy agency as a consultant in the early 1980s, but Friday he would say only that he did, quote, banal and routine research, unquote, for the Italian government. His friend Theodore Shackley was, quote, an intelligence person. In 1982, Shackley, a former CIA official, came under investigation in an $8 million overbilling of the Pentagon in an arms shipment to Egypt. Ledeen intervened with the prosecutor, according to the recent book Manhunt by Peter Moss. The book quoted Ledeen as saying that if Shackley was involved, the money might have gone to a covert operation. Well, Michael Ledeen has a long and varied history. Do you have anything you want to tackle on him right off the bat?
Well, the thing that I thought was so interesting about Ledeen, of course, he's cropping up in connection with the whole Iran situation, but we've looked at him in the past in connection specifically with his role as one of the chief spokesmen for the KGB is behind world terrorism thesis propounded by Claire Sterling and others. It's interesting that Ledeen himself has connections to a couple of interesting people, including Francesco Pazienza, an affiliate of the P2 Lodge, the fascist crypto-government which was to a considerable extent running Italy for a long time following World War II, headed up by former SS man Licio Gelli. That Pazienza, who has now been indicted in connection with the Bologna bombing, a terrorist bombing initially blamed on the left, but which has now gone to the gravitated in the direction of the far right and the fascist elements around P2, that Ledeen was very closely associated with Francesco Pazienza. His association or interest in Theodore Shackley is also very interesting because Theodore Shackley, a key member of the Wilson Turple team who we looked at, and we've looked at him in a lot of broadcasts, including Radio Free America shows 4, 12, and 21, that one of the things we looked at in number 21 was that Theodore Shackley went to work with the Super Seismi group within Italian intelligence headed up by P2 member Giuseppe Santavito, an associate of Stefano Della Chiaia and some others. And Shackley's presence just before the Pope was shot, and the fact that the Pope, according to the accounts in the Italian press, again documented in Radio Free America number 21, was apparently working towards some sort of diplomatic rapprochement between the Kremlin and the Vatican. The fact that he was shot just prior to this, just after Shackley went to work for the Super Seismi group and shot just before being able to successfully conclude that diplomatic initiative with the Kremlin, is intriguing. Also intriguing is the aforementioned Ruzi Nazar connection from the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, also a former SS man, part of WACL, and representative of the ABN at the 1985 WACL convention in Dallas. Also the fact that Frank Turple boasts of having trained the Grey Wolves. And interestingly enough, we took a look at Stibom, the Arms for Drugs ring, one of whose central figures, Bakir Chelenk, was the reputed paymaster in the plot to shoot the Pope. They were involved with, among other things, sending arms to Iran and the Contras. So there are many, many interesting questions about the possibility of the Pope shooting tying up with this whole group, the Wilson and Turple group, basically, the associate, the friends of Edwin Wilson, I guess we could say, in Iran scam hyphen Contra game.
I just this is a sidelight and only slightly off the topic, but since we were just talking about the assassination attempt on Pope John Paul II. In the same newspaper, the Wednesday, February 4th Mercury News, under the article about the first article about the death of Donald Aronow, I just happened to notice that Bob Jones, the head of Bob Jones University, which of course was the fundamentalist religious college that Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan's Justice Department went to bat for in terms of their protecting their religious freedom in some rather interesting ways. Bob Jones of Bob Jones University discussing the upcoming potential visit of the Pope, Pope John Paul II, to the United States, labeled Pope JP II the Antichrist. It's nice to know, again, that the kooks here at KFJC are in good company out there in the world. There's a lot of real interesting folks that seem to be friends and associates of the Reagan administration, and, gee, we're just sorry we can't be among them, and we have to be out with a lunatic fringe instead.
Well, at any rate, it is now time for the phone-ins. We're going to do things a little bit differently this evening because we're minus a phone screener.